It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download, where we hear old time radio every week at this time and at this place. And since it's a podcast, it's pretty much any time and any place. So how about that for coverage? Tonight we're going to have a detective program and the comedy. First we'll have Michael Shane, and this one's called Mary Noble Suspects Uncle Briggs. I wonder if it's the same Mary Noble of soap radio fame from back then. This is from June 11th of 1945. We'll follow that up with Phil Harris and Alice Faye, and I'll tell you more about that in 30 minutes.
The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 gasoline and Triton motor oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. As San Francisco's busiest private detective, Mike Shane can be found at almost any hour at almost any spot in the city, except one, perhaps, his apartment. Yet right now, that is just where we find him. Of course, he's there only long enough to pick up his overcoat and two theater tickets. Waiting impatiently in the hall doorway is his attractive assistant, Phyllis Knight.
Mike, what's keeping you?
I can't find the tickets.
Oh, fine. Fine. The master detective.
Oh, I know. I left them in my other suit.
Say, Mike.
Hmm?
Somebody's coming up your stairs. A strange woman.
Yeah? I don't know any strange women.
You better not. Your date's with me tonight.
Good evening. Is this the apartment of Michael Shane?
Yes, it is.
And you're Mrs. Shane?
Well, no. I'm his assistant, Phyllis Knight.
Oh, I'd like to see Mr. Shane. It's very, very important.
Well, we were just going
I'm sorry to impose, but I'm afraid it's a matter of life and death. Would you tell him that, please?
That's all right. I heard it.
Oh, Mr. Shane. You are Mr. Shane?
Yes. Come in.
My name is Mary Noble. I arranged to be in your neighborhood tonight, Mr. Shane. I had to talk to you.
Yes? Oh, won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you. I brought my friends to visit some people across the street at the El Tovar Apartments. Then I slipped away so I could see you without them suspecting.
I don't understand. Without who suspecting?
Mr. and Mrs. Pringle and Chico.
Chico?
That's Mr. Sabadell.
Oh.
I told them that I'd stay in the car, that I needed fresh air. You see, Uncle Briggs lets me go out only with his friends.
Hmm?
People who will spy on me and tell him what I do. Chico says he loves me, but I know that I'm not pretty. He wants my money.
Now, just a second. You said Uncle Briggs. Would that be Briggs Noble?
Yes, the rich, the upright Mr. Briggs Noble. I'm his niece, and he's trying to poison me.
Oh, now, really?
You don't mean that, I'm sure.
Oh, but I do. For the past 2 weeks, I've had strange sick spells. I'm sure it's the poison.
What does your doctor say?
I haven't had a doctor.
Hmm?
I've never told anyone, but I can't stand it any longer. Uncle Briggs wants me out of the way. I'm a burden.
I can't imagine you being a burden to a millionaire.
That's what's so strange. He's rich, yet he wants more and more money. Next month I'll be 21, and then I inherit my father's money. It's in trust for me. Uncle Briggs wants my money. That's the only way I can explain it.
And just what do you want me to do?
Talk to my uncle. Warn him that you know everything. You'll protect me. Be my bodyguard.
Oh, now, Miss Noble, I'm not that kind of a detective.
You don't believe me, do you?
Well, I can't say. I'm not sure. I might talk to your uncle, but I'm certain you've imagined things.
I see. I thought you really helped people.
Hmm?
But I was wrong. No one will help me. No one.
Miss Noble, now, if you'll tell me. Wait a minute. Miss Noble!
Well, that gal certainly got off the merry-go-round backwards.
Mm-hmm. She seemed perfectly reasonable when she first walked in.
But that talk of being a burden on a rich uncle, spied on by his friends, and poison.
I don't know. She walked the fence between sanity and, well, the opposite.
She was scared blue anyway. She almost got me going.
People do talk strangely when they're in terror. She said those friends were across the street.
Mm-hmm. The Altavar?
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you what. Let's go after her.
There. There she is, Mike, crossing the street.
Yeah. Miss Noble. Mary Noble. Mary. Mary, stop!
Mike, that taxi! Mike!
Honest, mister. She fell right in front of my cab. I didn't run over her.
Listen, she's dead, isn't she?
I'm telling you, I saw her fall.
You mean she tripped?
No, no. She slumped in a heap right in front of me. I didn't hit her.
Maybe he's right, Mike. Look at her dress here. There's no dirt from the wheels. She wasn't dragged.
Sure, I stopped in time. My bumper hardly touched her.
Yes. Yes, it's Mary.
Hurry, hurry.
Good heavens. Is she...
Yes.
What happened?
Is she... She's dead.
She's dead. Oh, William, I told you we shouldn't have left her in the car.
Well, she said she wanted some fresh air. How could we know this would happen?
I take it you are Mr. and Mrs. Pringle?
Why, yes. Do we know you, sir?
No, I'm Mike Shane, a private detective.
Oh.
This girl just left my apartment.
Oh, so that's where she went.
Huh?
She got out of the car and said she wanted to take a walk.
You her chauffeur?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't understand, sir. Why did Mary go to you?
She thought somebody was trying to kill her, that her life was in danger.
Ah, rubbish. Tommy rot. The girl imagined things.
Maybe not, Mr. Pringle. You're a good friend of my boss, but I don't mind
shut
saying...
Oh, shut up, Dan, for heaven's
sake. Please, gentlemen. Poor Mary. She lies dead. What must we do?
We must go call an ambulance.
We'll call more than an ambulance, honey. We'll call the inspector.
Don't misunderstand me, Mike. It's a sad case, but you admit yourself she was neurotic. This poison business was all in her mind.
Possibly, Inspector. Possibly, but the only way you can be sure of it is to investigate.
And you asked for an autopsy, Mike. All right, I've ordered it against my own judgment. That's as far as I can go.
You know, we really don't have any proof, Mike. Maybe she just had a heart spell and fell in front of the taxi.
Police certainly can't investigate Briggs Noble on such weak evidence. He comes from one of the oldest families in San Francisco. He's rich, society. Murder isn't his line, Mike.
All right, Inspector, all right. But will you do one thing more for me?
What is it?
Go out with us to see Briggs Noble.
Oh, Mike, you're the most stubborn. We've got to know what we're talking about first.
I'll do the talking if you want. I'll take the blame. But I want you there in case.
Wait a second. Yes?
Autopsy report, sir. Mary Noble. Examination of stomach shows heavy dose of poison.
Mike, you were right.
Sergeant, what was the poison? Arsenic?
Well, I can't tell, sir. Autopsy surgeon says the victim's hands are clenched tight and toes turned under. He says that the same symptoms of a rare native poison from South America.
I see. Mike, is there anything you want to ask him?
No. No, just tell him if they find anything else to call you at the home of Briggs Noble.
In just a moment, we'll return to the adventures of Michael Shane. Ladies and gentlemen, sludge in an engine is terrible stuff. It sticks to the pistons, valves, and other working parts, and it slows down and interferes with smooth engine performance. The sludge formed by some oils is so sticky that it doesn't ordinarily drain out when the oil is changed, but continues to accumulate. The only way to get rid of it is to have your engine flushed out occasionally. Your Union Oil Minuteman can perform this service for you quickly and cheaply. He has a special solvent-action flushing oil known as Cleanse Oil. Now, Cleanse Oil is harmless to your engine, but it cuts the sludge in a hurry. So when the Cleanse Oil is drained out, the sludge flushes right out with it, leaving the engine nice and clean. Then, with a fresh supply of pure paraffin-based Triton motor oil, you're all set for hundreds of miles of clean, safe engine operation. Just drive in wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76 and ask for Union Oil Engine Flushing Service. Thank you. Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector have just entered the ornate library of Briggs Noble. Noble stands in front of the fireplace.
This is the first time I've had the pleasure of meeting you, Mr. Shane.
I'm told you already know my friends here.
Yes, yes, but the inspector doesn't.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Pringle, Mr. Sabadell, and of course my chauffeur, Dan Casey.
How do you do?
I imagine, Mr. Shane, that you've come here to tell me my niece appealed to you for protection.
Yes, she did, Mr. Noble. I told your friends that.
Yes. Oh, poor girl. I never understood her. She was so moody. I tried to make her happy. Gave her everything she asked for, except the one thing she really wanted. A pretty face. So she chose the final remedy.
You mean she committed suicide?
What else? She threw herself under a taxi cab.
It's not that simple, Mr. Noble. The autopsy shows she was not killed by the taxi.
Really?
No, she was poisoned.
What? Poisoned? Oh. Why?
Quite bent on death, wasn't she?
Perhaps not, sir. You see, we think she was murdered.
Oh, no. No.
Did she have any enemies, Mr. Noble?
None, nor many friends. I suppose that was the trouble.
Do any of you know if she was sick during the past couple of weeks?
Why, yes, I remember one day. I was driving her and Mr. Sabadell. She almost fainted. You remember it, sir?
I remember.
Did she tell you, Mr. Sabadell, that she planned to see a detective tonight?
No, I come in, Mr. and Mrs. Pringle are with her. I give Maria a box of candy. We make small talk. Mm-hmm. She keeps saying we must all go visit some friend. Well, that is all. It's difficult to remember. Mm.
Mr. Noble, your niece said she was to come into an inheritance on her 21st birthday. Where will that money go now?
Well, I'm the last member of the family. It'll come to me.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I know.
Our family has had a tragic history. All violent deaths. Mm. My brother Edward died in a shipwreck off China. My nephew, Grant Noble, disappeared in his plane over Brazil. Dodd Noble, Mary's father, was crushed in a train wreck.
Aren't the women alive?
No. Edward and Dodd married, but their wives are gone, too. It's been very, very depressing.
Mr. Noble, it's time to be frank with you. Your niece came to me for protection from you. She said you were trying to poison her.
Why, that's fantastic, Miss...
She thought that about me. Poor girl. I told you she had strange moods.
It's a very weak explanation, sir. You admit she had no enemies and that you would inherit her estate.
Why should I want her money? I have more now than I want. You gentlemen don't realize the penalties of wealth.
That's neither here nor there, sir. Mary Noble was poisoned. She named you. It's my duty to determine the facts.
I see, Inspector, that you're determined to make me out a murderer. All I can say is this. I'm not guilty.
But, Mr. Noble...
Furthermore, if you insist upon bringing charges against me, I'm a man of wealth and power. I can employ the best legal counsel. I think you'd look very embarrassing in court. It would not benefit your reputation.
I see. Thank you for the warning, sir. And good night.
Well, I don't mean to tell you boys your own business, but why didn't you search the house for poison?
Well, for one thing, the killer would be smart enough to remove it. Second, I don't think Noble is our man. He has no motive.
Don't tell me the brave inspector is scared out.
No, no. Look at it this way, Mike. Poison is one of the subtlest types of murder.
Mm-hmm.
The killer figures that because nobody sees him actually give the victim poison, no jury will convict him on circumstantial evidence. Noble has a perfect alibi. She committed suicide. He ought to know. He's our uncle.
If it were suicide, the girl would hardly run to Mike to protect her life and then take poison.
Unless she hated her uncle enough to try to frame him with her murder.
Well, let's get rid of this suicide alibi right now. Inspector, if she took poison, it must have been in some container.
Uh-huh.
Now, we didn't find anything suspicious in her purse, but she would have to leave the bottle someplace. Now, where was she just before she died?
In your apartment. But she didn't swallow anything there.
And before that, she was in her car. So how about giving that a quick once-over, huh?
Okay, by me. Suppose it's the car over there by the driveway?
Well, we'll find out.
Uh-huh. It's a limousine with a chauffeur's compartment.
Here, here's the light switch.
See anything, Mike?
Magazines, lap robe, newspapers and stuff. Now, there's nothing under this cushion. No, no bottle.
Well, then she didn't have any poison with her in the car.
That still doesn't rule out suicide.
Hey, wait a minute, Inspector.
What?
We've been a couple of dopes. Mary accused her uncle. We accepted that and forgot everyone else.
Got anybody in mind?
Yes, the autopsy report said Mary's hands and toes were curled up tight, the symptoms of a South American poison. Who in that house there is a Latin?
Sabadell. Of course.
That's enough for me, kids. We're making a round trip right now.
course, gentlemen. I am from South America. My father was a trader on the Amazon River.
Then maybe it's more than coincidence that Mary was killed by a rare native poison from South America.
What? Why, you didn't tell us that. A poison from... Oh, Santa Maria. Gentlemen, this is bad.
You're telling us.
No, you do not understand. You have not been in this room before. Look on the walls. Mr. Noble has poison spear, poison arrow, poison darts. Yeah. All from South America.
So, what about this, Mr. Noble?
It's true.
Oh, fine.
Pringle brought them to me from Ecuador. They were poisoned, but not now. I had the stuff all soaked off when I mounted them.
Mr. Pringle, is it possible to use that poison after it's been removed?
Well, I don't know. The natives in South America use a number of poisons. They act in different ways.
I can assure you that Mary did not die of poison from this collection.
Ah?
Where she procured it is a question for you detectives.
You still insist it was suicide?
I do.
Mike?
Hmm?
Maybe there's another way we can settle that.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, Mary seems to have been a very lonely girl. It's very common for lonely girls to keep diaries.
Hmm?
Well, if Mary kept one, perhaps it would tell us what she intended to do.
Yes, yes, yes. I gave her a diary for Christmas. She always kept it on the top of her desk up in her room.
Swell, then up to the bedroom we go.
That's her desk over there by the window.
And we'll find it on top, huh?
That's right. It's a big green and gold book.
Well, I don't see it, Mike.
Maybe it's in the drawer.
No. No, just the usual stuff. Well, it's not here, Mr. Noble.
No, that's very strange. Could she have hidden it?
Well, I don't know if it's important enough to make a search right now. We'll go on with the questioning.
Noble, do you mind
if... You're going?
Well, yes. My wife and I'd like to get home. If there's nothing we can do for you, we'll say goodnight.
Well, the inspector may not have done with you.
Oh, I think so. If we need you, Mr. Noble can give us your address and phone number.
Yes, of course. Well, good night, then.
Mrs. Pringle, one moment, please.
Pardon?
Your purse. Hasn't it taken on weight very suddenly?
What?
May I look inside, please?
Why, this?
Well, Mrs. Pringle?
A diary.
Why, I didn't know. Mr. Noble motioned to me to open my purse, and he slipped something in. I didn't know it was a diary. You see, it's a different color.
I'll admit it. I misled you all. I slipped the diary into her purse while you were searching the desk.
It certainly doesn't help your case, Mr. Noble.
I didn't know what peculiar ideas Mary might have written down. I wanted to protect her memory. And yes, my reputation.
Mike?
Hmm?
Did you read anything in it?
Nothing very unusual so far. No mention of suicide. Mr. Savadell, I gather that you proposed to Mary.
Oh, many times.
We never followed up our questions with you either, sir.
I know what you have in mind, but you are wrong. I killed the girl I love? No.
Mr. Inspector, excuse me. I realize this diary episode with my wife looked suspicious. But since Mr. Noble has admitted the fault, I think we're cleared. Would you let us go home now? Tonight's been a great strain on my wife.
Well, we'd all like to go
home.
Well,
I wouldn't ask it, sir, but my wife is not in good health.
I see. What do you say, Mike?
Yeah, certainly, by all means.
All right, Mr. Pringle.
Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
And now, Mike?
Wait. Okay. Now, Mr. Noble, if you please, the address of Mr. and Mrs. Pringle.
I suppose you boys know this may be a wild goose chase.
Oh, I don't think so, Angel. The Pringles were a little too anxious to get home.
And I'm still not satisfied about that diary in the purse. They put on quite an innocent act, the way Noble came to their rescue.
Yeah. There's the house, number 1511.
Yeah, but it's all dark.
That's funny. We drove slowly so we'd get here ahead of them. We wanted to catch them with whatever they're up to.
Wait, Inspector. There's a light in the garage.
Yeah. Okay, stop your engine, Mike.
Close that door gently, Mike.
Okay. Now, leave us walk on the grass so they won't hear us.
And keep in the shadows.
Look. Look. They're both in the garage.
Let's cross the driveway.
What in blazes are they doing? They got a bucket of...
Uh-oh. Yeah. Pringle's got some of those javelins. Poison javelins.
Soaking them in the bucket.
All right. Let's make an entrance.
This water isn't hot enough. It's got to be boiling.
Well, I'll go heat a kettle, then.
Don't bother, Mrs. Pringle. You're in enough hot water right now.
William!
Shane! Inspector! What's the meaning of this?
So you cook the spear points in hot water to extract the poison?
I don't know. I was just trying to find out, to see if it still had power.
Mike, there's a car coming up the driveway.
Yeah. Who is it? Why is he blowing the horn?
Oh, I don't... Hey, cut it out! Get off that horn!
There's something wrong. Come on.
There's a man slumped over the steering wheel.
I'll pull him off the horn. Okay, mister. Raise up.
Holy jump. It's Sabadell.
Yes. Unconscious.
But how? Who?
Here's the answer. Remember the symptoms of that South American poison? Tight, clenched hands?
Look.
We'll return to Mike and Phil in just a moment. Friends, it's pretty safe to say that carbon is the number one enemy of your automobile engine. Carbon burns valves, gums up piston rings, and may lead to expensive repair bills. Therefore, anything that reduces carbon formation is of interest to careful drivers. And that's just what Triton Motor Oil does. Yes, that's right. Triton Motor Oil cuts down carbon. Why? Well, nearly all carbon comes from the lubricating oil, and not from the gasoline, as so many people think. But all lubricating oils are not the same in their carbon-forming tendencies. In fact, in a recent comparative test made with the 7 leading motor oils sold here in the West, Triton contained 38% fewer carbon-forming elements than the next best oil, 86% less than the average. The secret of Triton's superiority lies in the Union Oil Company's exclusive propane solvent refining process, a process so valuable that it's been patented by Union Oil Company. So, friends, with mechanics as scarce as they are today, why not take advantage of the extra protection the 100% pure paraffin-based Triton motor oil will give you against carbon? You can buy Triton motor oil at all Union Oil Minuteman stations. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Thank you. An ambulance has carried the unconscious Sabadell to the hospital. Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector have returned to the Pringle garage with Mr. and Mrs. Pringle.
I know it looks bad, gentlemen, but you didn't give us a chance to explain.
Well, you've got your chance now, Mr. Pringle. Make the most of it.
You were out here in your garage trying to get poison off 2 South American hunting spears. What for?
Well, because they're the same type spears I brought Noble from Ecuador. I wanted to collect the poison and send it to the police.
So you people could compare it with the poison found in Mary's stomach. Yeah. Well, you're suddenly very helpful, Mrs. Pringle, after you tried to smuggle Mary's diary away from the police.
But I didn't mean to. That's what made William and I think Mr. Noble might be guilty after all.
Looks to me like all 3 of you are in the same boat.
At least we don't have to consider Sabadell any longer.
Yes. As I see it, Sabadell was really in love with Mary. He tore over here to the Pringles for the same reason we did, because he figured they were in cahoots with Noble.
Then collapsed in his car from the same poison.
Okay, but which of these 3 did it? And is the poison from these 3 spears?
Wait a minute. I got a new angle, Inspector. Mary was killed by the poison. Sabadell got enough of it to send him to the hospital, but nobody else has keeled over tonight.
That's right.
Then what did Mary and Sabadell eat or drink that nobody else touched?
Did all of you people eat dinner together?
Yes, we did.
Then it's not the food. Did either of you see Mary or Sabadell drink anything which you didn't?
Not that I remember.
Well, they must have a food or drink or something that... Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. How about candy? Sabadell said he brought Mary a box tonight.
Oh, he always did. Mary was a candy fiend. Ate chocolates all day long.
Did you eat any tonight?
Oh, no. They're much too sweet for me.
And you, Mrs. Pringle?
I never touched chocolates.
Then they did eat something which you didn't.
If Mary always ate chocolates, that would be an ideal way to give her the poison. The sugar in the stuff might slow down the effect. We may be wrong, but we've got to find that box of chocolates.
Well, the last I saw of it, Mary and Mr. Sabadell had it with them in the car. But we searched the car, Mike.
Yes, honey, yes, but we were looking for a bottle of poison. We weren't thinking of candy. There was an awful lot of stuff in that car. We've got to look again, and it better be fast.
I put the car in the garage here just a minute ago. If I'd known you fellows wanted to look at
it... That's all right, Dan. That's all right. Thanks for letting us in.
Sure. Anything else I can do for you?
No, thanks, Dan.
Okay, if you want me, I'll be in my room. It's right overhead.
All right. Okay, Dan. Thanks.
We better look good this time, Mike.
Yeah.
You need more light in there?
Nope, no. Did you find anything, Inspector?
No.
Nor I. Just the same stuff I found before.
It's hopeless, Mike. No killer would poison the girl and leave a box of chocolates high and dry for the police. He wouldn't be that dumb.
It isn't a question of dumbness, Inspector. It's a question of time.
But he'd still get rid of the chocolates. We don't know where to look for him.
Now, let me think. He wouldn't throw the chocolates out of the car. Somebody might pick them up and eat them.
That means he must have brought them back here.
Think, Inspector, think. Would he destroy the chocolates or hide them?
He'd destroy them.
That means the box, too. He'd have to burn it.
I saw an incinerator on this side of the garage.
Lead us to it, Angel.
Mike, you got a hold of something. Well, pull it. Come on, pull it out.
Here you are.
The box of chocolates. Open it up.
They're mashed up a bit, but we can analyze them, and if the fingerprints aren't too mussed over...
They probably are. Wait a minute, honey.
Yeah?
Back at my apartment, didn't Mary say she had told no one else but you and me that her uncle was trying to poison her?
Yeah, that's right.
Yet one other person tonight seemed to know something about it. When we were looking at Mary's body, he made a crack about Noble. It was Dan Casey.
Yes? Oh, Mr. Shane.
Yeah, do you mind if we come in for a minute, Dan?
Why, glad to have you.
Dan, tonight when we found Mary Noble's body, I heard you start to tell Mr. Pringle that your boss could stand some investigating.
Well, I guess I was right, wasn't I?
Perhaps, but before Mary came to me, she hadn't told her fears to a living soul. Yet you were able to name Briggs Noble.
Well, you know, that's just one of those things.
Mind if we take a little look around your room, Dan?
Now, hold on. What is it you want?
Well, here's one thing we want on your dresser. This dish of chocolates here.
What of it? Miss Mary gave them to me.
You mind eating a piece?
No, of course not.
That's it. Oh, by the way, I got a few more chocolates here in my pocket. It's the same kind.
Huh?
They had a few ashes on them, but I cleaned them off. Good as new.
Ashes?
Yes, from the incinerator. But I'll just add them to your dish here and mix them all around like that. Now, would you eat another? Go on. Eat a piece. Eat two or three.
No. No, I won't.
No. I didn't think you would. Okay, Inspector, I think this is where you take over.
Thanks. Really, I
insist. You must have a drink. A cup of peace between the inspector and myself.
Well, I guess I would drink to that.
I can understand your suspicions of me, gentlemen, when I kept telling you it was suicide.
But what gets me, Mr. Noble, is how you could employ a chauffeur for months and not recognize him as your own nephew.
You forget I hadn't seen him for over 10 years. When he disappeared in his plane over Brazil, he was hardly more than a boy. But he was dead. The whole family thought he was dead.
But, Mr. Noble, he was Mary's cousin. Could he still inherit her money?
Certainly. The inheritance was so arranged that it would go either to him or, if dead, to me.
So he planned to disappear after tonight and come back in a few months as the long-lost heir. Quite a scheme. Chocolate-coated murder.
Say, speaking of that, do you think there's a candy store open at this hour? I'd like to buy Phil a box of chocolates.
No, thanks, no. After tonight, I've lost my sweet tooth.
Oh, but maybe when you see him, honey, nice, big, luscious bonbon.
Mike Shane, you haven't given me a box of chocolates in years. If you do it now, I'll know what to expect.
Oh, no, you won't, Angel. Oh, no, you won't.
Tune in again next week at 8 for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as the inspector. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
And now comes the comedy portion of the podcast. For that, we're going to listen to the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. You know Phil Harris as the brash band leader on the Jack Benny radio show. Alice Faye, of course, his wife. And this has his children and Frankie Remley, too. Whole gang's there. It should be fun time for the next 30 minutes. This one is Phil Donates Blood, and that's going to be an experience for him. January 28th, 1951.
From Hollywood, the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Alice's brother William called a little while ago to tell Phil and Alice that he's coming over with some important news for them. As we look in, he is just arriving.
Good morning, everybody.
Well, bless my little liver pills if it isn't Brother Carter.
Good morning, Willie. What's this important news you have for us?
I went down to the Red Cross and made a donation.
You donated something?
Yes, I gave a pint of my blood.
Oh, well, I knew it couldn't have been money. Look, Willie, let me tell you something. You can't afford to be given any blood. You got barely enough to get by on. You don't look too strong, you know.
I'm plenty strong now. I'll admit, when I was a child, I was sickly. In fact, when I was 16, the doctor said I wouldn't live.
Well, it was nice of you not to make a liar out of it.
Philip, I did live.
Well, prove it. Blink your eyes a little. Breathe now and then.
Philip, don't be facetious. I happen to have an unusual physique. You should see me stripped. I look...
Please, Willie, I just ate. You're the skinniest guy I've ever seen.
Now, Phil, he's not that skinny.
Oh, no, if you don't stand in just the right position when he's taking a shower, he don't get wet.
Now, don't kid him, Phil. He did a very noble thing donating to the blood bank.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know he did. Hey, I'm sorry, Willie, because I'm really proud of you, kid. They need blood now, and everybody should go down and give some.
I knew you felt that way about it, Philip, so I pledged a pint of yours.
Well, I think it's mine. What do you mean by giving my blood away like that? That stuff don't grow on trees, you know.
But, Phil, they need your blood.
They need it? What am I supposed to use, borscht? Borscht? I'm a little anemic right now myself, dear. And if they take my blood away, well, I won't be able to face my barber.
Well, what's your barber got to do with it?
Well, it'll be embarrassing if he cuts me while he's shaving and nothing comes out.
No, stop stalling, Philip. You're not anemic. I made an appointment for you at the Red Cross for this afternoon, and you'd better be there.
Well, I'd love to help. Hey, tell me, Willie, does it hurt much?
Of course not. There's nothing to it.
Well, how's it affect you after?
There's no after effect. I just had it done, and look at me.
That bad, huh?
Phil, stop being such a sissy. It's perfectly harmless. You know, most of the people who go for the first time keep coming back every 3 months.
You mean this can get to be habit forming?
It's a good thing for you to make a habit of.
Well, I've already got one habit. I mean, other than that. I have one habit, honey, biting my nails. And I've been doing it so long, I hate to give it up and break in a new gimmick. It just don't, you know.
Oh, all right, you big jellyfish. Now, look, Philip, I made an appointment for you at 4 o'clock today, and I expect you to show up.
All right, up. Did you say 4 o'clock? Uh-uh. Couldn't possibly make it at 4. It's tea time, you know. Queen Elizabeth would hate me if I missed my tea and trumpets.
They give you tea down there. Any other excuses?
Well, I can't think of any offhand,
then you'll
but...
go.
All right, I'll go. But if anything happens to me, it's going to be your fault, Willie. And I'm warning you, if I die, I'll never talk to you again as long as I live.
Now, Phil, nothing's going to happen to you, and it's your patriotic duty to do it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And it's everybody's duty. Well, I'll not only go, but I'll get everybody I know to go down, too. Hey, wait a minute, I'll get that.
Hiya, Curly.
Hey. Oh, Francis. Hiya, Frankie. You're just the guy I wanted to see. I know you can't see me, but I'm looking at you. Look, Francis, you'd like to do something for your country, wouldn't you?
Why should I? What did Lois Lobovi ever do for me?
I'm not talking about your fatherland. I'm talking about the country you were smuggled into, America.
Oh, that's different. What do you want me to do?
Well, I've got it all fixed. I've arranged for you to do something very patriotic.
If you had me drafted, I'll punch you right in the nose.
Frankie, I wouldn't do that to any country. All I want you to do is to come down to the Red Cross with me because they're calling for donors and, I'm going to donate a pint, and I want you to give a pint.
Okay. I'll give bourbon. What are you going to give?
I'm going to give blood.
Why didn't I think of that? Cheaper than bourbon. It's
easier. Now, will you keep quiet a minute? Because I'm serious. The Red Cross needs blood donors. And I want you to come down with me today and give some.
Well, I'd like to, but I can't.
What's the matter, kid? Are you scared?
No, it's not that.
Frightened, huh?
No, that's not it either.
You're yellow.
That's it.
Well, I know how you feel. Confidentially, I'm a little afraid myself, but look, Remley, we ought to do it.
Well, if you think so, okay.
Certainly. They need good red blood like ours.
Oh, red blood! In that case, they couldn't use mine.
Your blood ain't red?
No, it's sort of a forest green.
Well, don't worry, they'll take it anyway.
But, Curly, it's green.
Well, tell them it ain't ripe yet. You're going to go down with me now and don't argue.
Well, can't we put it off till some other time?
No, we can't. That's your big fault, Remley. You're always procrastinating. Procrastinating. You have to do something, do it. That's the trouble with people. There's them that does and them that don't and them that says they will but won't. So if Satan tempts you, hold on tight, cause you can't do wrong doing right. There's them that shall and them that shan't and them that wish they could but can't. But it's them that does that sees the light, cause you can't do wrong doing right. Look at that gal Delilah, she had them all in a spin. She clipped the mighty Samson, but she got caught when the house fell in. And so you see, there's got to be just one road for you and me. Let old Satan know he lost the fight, cause you can't do wrong doing right.
You gotta do right.
Well, make me know.
Yes, you gotta do right.
Oh, keep preaching.
If you wanna see the light.
Oh, hallelujah.
Cause you can't do wrong when you're doing right.
Well, there's them that's good and them that's mean and them that's somewhere in between. But it looks to me from what I've seen that you can't do wrong doing right. There's them that's meek and them that's bold. Now, don't ask me, but I've been told it's the meek that plays them harps of gold. Cause you can't do wrong doing right. Now, look at old Big Goliath bragging about his size.
picking on little David. But he got hit right between the eyes. So you see, there's got to be just one road for you and me. Let old Satan know he lost the fight, 'cause you can't do wrong doing right.
You mustn't do wrong.
Well, that's right with me.
No, you mustn't do wrong.
That's philosophy.
If you want to get along.
Oh, I believe it now.
'Cause you'll never get along if you're doing wrong.
Now, they threw Daniel to the lions. The king had it done. He's the law. But it wasn't long till Daniel had all of them cats drinking milk out of straw. And so you see, there's got to be just one road for you and me. Let old Satan know he lost the fight. 'Cause you can't do wrong doing right. No, you can't do wrong doing right.
'Cause you can't do wrong when you're doing what is right.
Keep on doing right. Well, Remley, did my song make you feel better?
Not particularly. I'm still worried.
Remley, I tell you, there's nothing to worry about. Willie said it's very simple. Now buck up and be a man. Conquer your fear like I'm doing. We're going through with this thing, and we're going
Phil!
Yes?
It's 3 o'clock, dear. It's time to go.
Time to go? Already?
Well, don't just stand there, Remley. Think of some way we can get out of this.
Believe me, I'm thinking.
Oh, hello, Frankie.
Hi, Alice.
Are you going to the blood bank with Phil?
Well, I'd like to, but I can't.
You wouldn't expect me to give blood on my wedding day.
Your wedding day? Frankie, whom are you marrying?
Me. Come, Francis, dear. Let's leave for the church.
I never saw such babies as you two.
Oh, but honey, are you sure that they want our blood?
Of course they do. You're two strong, healthy specimens. Now, it would be different if you were sick. Then they wouldn't take it from you.
They don't take it from you if you're sick, huh?
No, but you're not sick. What's the matter with you?
It's my armpits again. Oh, the pain. Ooh, how I suffer.
Remley, step aside and let a man in there who knows how to suffer.
Oh.
Curly, please, you just sang one song.
I'm not singing, I'm in pain.
You got sick very suddenly, didn't you, Phil? What's wrong with you?
Well, I got, I got chicken pox, and I can prove it. Pox.
Brother, now pox. I've heard everything.
No, you haven't. Wait till you hear what I got. Ist das nicht ein Schnitzelbaum? Ja, das ist ein Schnitzelbaum. Schnitzelbaum, Schnitzelbaum, Schnitzelbaum.
Now, what's that?
German measles.
Oh.
Now, fellas, you're being ridiculous. It's absolutely painless. I'm going down and give a pint of blood myself.
While you're there, give a pint for me.
Throw in a magnum for me, Alice. We're too feeble to go.
Now, there's nothing wrong with you physically. Your feebleness is all in your mind. Now, come on, let's get down to the Red Cross. Let's see. The blood bank is on this block someplace. Oh, fellas, come on, stop lagging behind. It's 5 minutes to four.
We're coming, Alice, as fast as our gout-ridden legs will carry.
Curly, we're getting awful close. Can't you think of something?
I'm trying.
All right, fellas, here we are. Let's go in.
Look, Alice, I'm afraid this is going to hurt. My little body won't
Phil,
stand...
Phil, will you please stop it? Let me explain how simple this is going to be. First, you fill out a form. Then they give you an examination. After that, they take your blood, give you a drink, and you go home.
I don't care if they... Drink? Well, this place is starting to look up a little bit. What do you have, Rem?
Let's go to the bar and see what they got.
Well, that ain't going to be necessary because here comes the guy in a white coat, right? Oh, bartender,
me an old-fashioned with soda.
I am not a bartender. I am a doctor.
Okay, then make it with rubbing alcohol.
Bill, please. Doctor, I hope you'll forgive my husband. You see, he was told you serve drinks here.
Oh, we do. We pass around tomato juice, orange juice, tea, milk.
Please, Doc, you're making me nauseous.
Doctor, we're here as donors.
Oh, that's very nice of you people. We appreciate your coming down.
Yeah. Now, look, Doc, take it now and let's get it over with.
Not so fast, sir. First, you'll have to fill out these donor registration cards. I'll be back for them in a minute.
Look, Alice, can't we call the whole thing off?
Yeah, I'm beginning to lose my nerve.
Nonsense. Let's fill the cards out. I'll tell you what. While we're doing it, I'll cheer you up.
Curly, is she gonna...
Yes, she is. So you might as well get out your long neck Vega and start to accompany her.
Ask me how do I feel? Ask me now that we're cozy and clinging. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bell, I'd be ringing. From the moment we kiss tonight, that's the way I've just got to behave. Boy, if I were a lamp, I'd light. Or if I were a banner, I'd wave. Ask me how do I feel, little me with my quiet upbringing. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a gate, I'd be swinging. And if I were a watch, I'd start popping my spring, boy. Or if I were a bell, I'd go ding, dong, ding, dong, ding.
Ask us how do we feel from this chemistry lesson we're learning.
All right, boys, how do you feel?
Well, dear, all we can say is if we were a bridge, we'd be burning.
Yes, I knew my morale would crack.
You gotta be careful.
From the wonderful way that he looked. Mm-hmm. Boy, if I were a duck, I'd quack. Or if I were a goose, I'd be cooked. Ask me how do I feel. Ask me now that we're fondly caressing.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, if I were a salad, I'd just know I'd be splashing my dressing.
Or if I were a season, I'd surely be spring. Or if I were a bell, I'd go. If I were a bell, I'd go. If I were a bell, I'd go.
Yeah.
I don't understand your wife.
You don't Well, why?
Everybody else is sitting around bleeding and she's singing.
Well, Remley, you know how women are. They don't know enough.
Well, folks, did you fill out your cards?
Yeah, we fill them out. Here you are, Doc. Glad to have been of service to the Red Cross. Anytime you need me again, just call me. So long, if you follow my instructions, you'll be on your feet in no time.
Come back here.
This is just the first step. Now, let me see. Yes, your cards are all in order. Now, I'll take a sample of your blood, Mr. Harris.
What do you need a sample for? What are you going to do, send a salesman on a road with it?
We need a sample to determine your type. Now, give me your hand. Now, just prick your finger with this needle and take a drop.
Do it with my first wife. Do it with my wife first. Do it to her first.
All right, doctor. All right, doctor, I'll go first. Here's my finger.
Thank you. Just hold it steady. There, it's all over.
You see, Phil, I didn't even feel it.
Gee, it's that simple, huh? Hey, nothing to it. Here's my finger, Doc. Shoot the works. Take two drops.
All right, hold still. There.
Oh! 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 Oh, those pants. Doctor, you pulled a knife on me.
I'd like to, but we need you. Mr. Remley, let me have your finger.
But, Doctor, I don't think
Hold
I...
still. There.
No! Now I know what a woman goes through when she has a baby.
Now, now, little mother, take it easy. I'll be right back as soon as I have this blood type. I had to be a doctor. I should have listened to my father and been a licensed plumber.
Phil, I never saw such a disgusting display of cowardice. Never.
I am not a coward. It's just that us musicians are sensitive souls.
That's right. Look, Curly, I can't stand any more of this torture. I'm going home.
Me too.
You're not going anyplace, Phil. You came down to give a pint of blood, and you're going to give it.
What's she after, Curly? Your insurance money?
I don't know, but I guess we're going to have to go through with this, Remy. Ain't no way out.
We can only think of
Would you people care for something to drink? We have tomato juice, orange juice, milk, or tea.
No, lady, thanks. Look, we got enough trouble.
Wait a minute, Curly. Wait a minute. I got an idea. Come here.
What are you talking about?
Come here.
I don't want no juice from the lady.
Listen.
What do you
want? I think I know a way we won't have to give them our blood.
What are we going to give?
What does tomato juice look like?
Well, it's red and it looks like blood, yeah. Hey, Remley.
Huh?
The next time that gal goes by, you cop 2 cups tomato juice.
When she passes me, I'll lift 2 cups off.
Orange juice, tomato juice, hot tea,
yeah.
Milk.
I got them, Curly.
Good. I'll keep them behind you so nobody will see.
Okay. Reach in back of you. I'll slip you one.
Got it. Well, Mr. Harris, I just typed your blood and it's okay. Now, if you'll follow me into the donor's room... We'll... Ain't gonna be necessary, Doc. While I was waiting for you, I thought I'd save you a little time, so I took my own blood out. You took your own? Yes, sir. Here you are, Doc, a whole cup full of the stuff. Pretty, ain't it? Honest, Doctor, did you ever see blood as rich as that before? No, I haven't. First time I've seen yellow blood with pits in it. Pits? Apparently you heisted orange juice.
What are you kicking about? I got hot tea with a bag in it.
I'm a busy man. So if you brownies are through playing, let's get on.
What type of blood do I have, Doctor?
Well, you're type A, Mrs. Harris. How about me? You're type O, Mr. Harris.
What type's my blood, Doc?
That we haven't been able to figure out yet. We put it through every test known to medical science, and the results are a little startling.
What do you mean?
Well, your type of blood is found only in prehistoric monsters. Are there any Neanderthal men in your family? No, but he's got an aunt who looks like a dinosaur.
Curly, please. That's no way to talk about my aunt Brontosaurus. Doctor, what's wrong with my blood?
Well, for one thing, it's not liquid. It has the consistency of well-chewed bubble gum.
No wonder every time I cut myself, there's a loud pop. Well, I guess in that case, you won't be able to use my blood, will you, Doc?
We'll take it. We'll find some use for it. Now, you folks wait right here. I'll send one of my assistants in to take your blood.
Thank you, Doctor. Now, fellas, you stay right here. I'm going over to get some juice.
Won't work. We tried it.
Oh, how two grown men can act like such...
Hiya, Miss Faye.
Oh, hello, Julius. What are you doing here?
I help out in my spare time. I pour the juices they pass out. What are you doing here?
Well, I came down to be a donor. I brought Mr. Harris and Mr. Remley down, too.
Oh, you brought them to the wrong place. This is where we take it, not give it. Where are they?
Right over there. They're waiting for the doctor's assistant to take their blood.
Oh, I better go over to welcome them. Excuse me. Oh, what an opportunity. Hiya, fellas.
Hey, it's old Julius. What are you doing here, kid?
I'm the doctor's his assistant.
You're the assistant. Come on, Remley, let's get out of here.
Wait a minute. What are you guys here for?
We came down to give our blood.
I'll be glad to take it. Just follow me to the vampire bat department. Oh, nice. Warm up bats 3 and 4.
Cut it out, Julius. We want this done the right way.
Yeah, now should I roll up my sleeve so you can take it from my arm?
Don't bother. Just open your collar. I'll take it from your throat.
All right, Julius, don't get wise. Besides, we ain't gonna let you do it.
Okay, we got a self-service department. You can do it yourself.
Well, that sounds a little better. Now, how do we do this?
It's simple. Here's a sharp razor and a 5-gallon can. Now get to work.
A 5-gallon can?
Now don't stand there, Mac. Fill her up.
Will you stop trying to scare us, Julius? How's this really done?
You have nothing to worry about, fellas. It's done very scientifically. I take your blood the same way they get sap from a maple tree.
You mean?
Yeah, I drill a hole in your leg, shove a spigot in, and hang a can on it.
Shirley, I don't think I'm going to like this. Let's get out of here.
But, Remley, we got to do our share. One little spigot. That ain't going
to... I'm willing to do my share, but I ain't going to let this little leech touch me.
There's other ways you can help out, Mr. Remley. I can get you a job here as a model.
A model at a blood bank?
Yeah. You stand next to the donor while we're taking his blood, and when the guy begins to look like you, we know we've taken too much.
Shirley, this kid has got to go. Let's finish him off right now.
All right, let's don't rush into it. Let's take our time and think of a nice, gruesome way to put him out. Don't be in a
hurry. All right, fellas, I was only kidding. I don't take the blood. The doctor does. And he's a wonderful doctor. He has a way of doing it so you don't even feel it.
Okay, that's better. Now call the doctor.
Okay. Oh, Dr. Dracula! Dr. Dracula, sharpen your fangs. We got a customer.
That does it. Grab him. Get a hold of him, Roger.
All right, Roger, I got him. What do we do to him?
Just ad-lib around until we get a vital spot.
Hang on, you gorillas! Take the head alone! Stop pressing my soft spot!
Phil, Frankie, stop that! Let go of Julius. Phil, get your finger out of his ear.
I was only going to bowl him down the corridor.
To be ashamed of yourself scaring this poor child.
Yeah, poor little me. I'll see you later, Miss Faye. You're always trying to do something to shorten me little life.
All right, folks, we're ready for you now. Just follow me, please.
Come on, boys.
Well, I guess this is it, Remley.
Yeah. Well, if we have to go, let's go out like men. With a smile on our faces.
And a song on our lips.
What do we sing, Curly?
How about the thing? I might as well get in one last plug.
As I was walking into the room to give our blood away, we see a big fat doctor there.
Well, there you are, fellas. It's all over and there was nothing to it, was there?
Nah, it was a cinch. You know, those doctors are pretty clever. You don't feel a thing. How do you feel, Remley?
Great. Just think, Curly, I gave a whole pint of my blood to help somebody else. I'm quite a guy.
Well, I gave a pint, too, you know, and I'm just as proud of it as you are. Hey, Alice, you don't know what it feels like to give part of you to somebody else.
I also gave a pint.
Yeah, but that's women's blood. That don't count.
And just think, Curly. Today we gave our blood, and tomorrow they'll be using it to help a couple of soldiers. Or they might give it to 2 little kids who need it.
Yeah. Hey, Rem.
Huh?
I can just see those 2 little kids walking along with our blood in them. The same blood that flows through our... Hey, Remley.
What?
Do you think we did the right thing?
Those kids are young. They'll outgrow it.
This is Phil again. And seriously, Red Cross supplies of blood are dangerously low. To donate your blood is completely painless.
Some of the guys in my own band, I'm proud to say, have donated as many as 12 to 16 times. So go to your nearest Red Cross blood bank this week. All your life, you'll be proud you did. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Now enjoy Hedda Hopper, then it's Ann Baxter and Theater Guild on NBC.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.